what began as a meaningful purpose became meaningless because I started to put a lot of selfishness into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Statues Podcast. On today's episode, I have my co-host, Crystal. And today's topic is going to be about human greed. I want to insert a clip here before we go ahead and talk about the topic today.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent and all will be lost.
The reason why I wanted to talk about human greed today was because, personally for me, I've gone through it. I think I went through it the way many will experience it, through ambition, through a hustle culture. Not knowing when enough is enough and not knowing when to draw those that boundary line. When I first had my first company, human greed wasn't something that I thought about. Our purest intentions is for the singular fact of building something so that we could have. And I think that's when the seed of human greed is planted. We are not taught about boundaries when you're going through stuff like that. These are things that you experience and you learn through your mistakes. I don't know if it's something that's relatable to you. You know, human greed for me became so many things. It was, at first, it was about creating something for the family that I had created for myself. And then it became, I wanted to give them everything. And then it became, how do I give them everything if I don't have much on my side?
Yeah. I think my definition of greed is a little bit like different based off of like what I experienced through life. Like greed, kind of like what I grew up with, was like wanting things. And it sounds really cliche, but this is kind of how I was raised, was wanting things that I couldn't have at that time. You know, like in the small community that I grew up in, every kid that you see was wearing like an LV belt or like a bag, and like they were like wearing like designer brand stuff every single time, even if it means going to church, you know, like or going to the grocery stores. So that for me is kind of my definition of greed growing up, was wanting things that I couldn't have at that time. And it got really bad to the point where like it was constantly like asking for things, and then eventually it was, I guess, like you kind of grow out of it.
With human greed, there was another quote that I wanted to bring up. I feel like this quote has so much to bring to the table. It says, "We have two lives, and the second one begins when you realize we only have one." I think it ties very, very beautifully with this topic of greed, because from my experience and knowing what greed was and feeding into greed and doing things selfishly, my life changed when I had realized I had fucked up already. When I realized that everything I was doing was no longer for
the right purpose.
Yeah, the right purpose. The meaningful purpose. What began as a meaningful purpose became meaningless because I started to put a lot of selfishness into it. It wasn't about creating a family and creating things for my family. It was about creating things so that I could feel like I was a part of that family. Mm-hmm. And then it became a part of that human greed where it was like, I didn't know when to stop. I didn't know when enough was enough until it was already too late. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation that I've been having with a friend lately. Is those horrendous times and those times that everyone had gone through, these moments of greed and personal greed, we think about it because those were the best times of our life. But as you also think about it, you also feel guilt. I feel guilt for thinking about those times being the best parts of my life because they were with the best people of my life. And it just so happened that greed for me happened during those times when I was with the best people of my life. I know there's a lot of this definition of greed and human greed. It goes just far past a company. You know, it goes into actual families, you know. Mm-hmm. I've seen it break families apart.
Yeah, no, I feel like greed is different for every person, but the goal is to always want more than what you have. Or that is beyond your like current capabilities, and it really does affect a lot of people. And it might be us being selfish that we don't see it now, but long term, after like we've grown up, after we've gone through certain things, you think back on it and you're like, oh wow, like I was kind of a shitty human being for not realizing or seeing certain things.
Yeah, and I think everyone has to go through those times to realize, as that second quote said, you know, to realize the second chance at life was realizing that you fucked up. Mm-hmm. That's when you start to realize and you can go ahead and confront yourself.
Yeah.
And the shitty human being that you were and the shitty things that you had done. Because I feel like, for me, my life was a whole 180. It was me being one way and then all of a sudden me flipping my entire life to being a different way because I had realized that I had fucked up. And it was that realization of fucking up, being so greedy, that made me scared to continue being that way because I didn't want to hurt people anymore and I didn't want to be that way.
Yeah.
Human greed is something that I've seen tear people apart, something that I've seen create monsters, per se. Mm-hmm. These are people that I knew grew up honest people that had ambitions and had drive to do something bigger in the world and to do something for their families. And they do. But then it's that point of not knowing when to stop. Or when
enough is enough, I guess.
Yeah. But now the question that, you know, like I have to bring up is, when do you know enough is enough? That's the hardest part about this whole journey.
That's true. Because sometimes when like the people around us who care about us see it and then they tell us, hey, I think you should stop what you're doing. You know, sometimes it's hard to know when enough is enough because when you're driven to give your family something better or how to say that, like the center point of you wanting to do all of this is for your family, but they don't see it that way. It's so hard because you're like, oh man, like I'm doing the best I can to give you guys, but it's like they don't see it.
And that's the hardest thing is like, look, like I've had my own family tell me, hey, maybe you should slow down. Mm-hmm. But from my mind, from my point of view, if I slow down, everything that I have will disappear. Mm-hmm. So I have to keep going. I have to keep going head on.
Yeah.
And that's the mind like set of everyone that's doing this whole hustle culture. Mm. This whole finding new financial stability in life is they are driven because something in their life isn't right. Mm-hmm. Something in their life is telling them to seek for more. And they are, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
The hardest part is the self-realization that when is it enough now? Because that's the hardest part about being in that situation is you're not going to know when enough is enough. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of kids that are into real estate, they start one house, two house, three house. It will gradually climb. You've already had a taste of what it's like. Mm-hmm. We are conditioned as lower class citizens, mm-hmm, to understand that a certain amount of money is beyond our capabilities.
Yeah.
So when you make that amount in one paycheck, the doors are now flooded open. Those doors of opportunity, of possibilities, it's there now. Mm-hmm. And no one on our side understands that. That was the hardest part for me, was no one on my side could understand that.
Yeah.
I came from a family where we treated $20 like a lot. Mm-hmm. Where every paycheck that I got, I had to think about my bills and then helping my mom pay the bills. And then, you know, there was never enough money for me to just fool around with and go have fun with. Mm-hmm. But as someone that has made like a good amount in one paycheck, and then you get that paycheck, mm-hmm, this is money that you've never had before.
Yeah.
And this is the seed of human greed, is I did that once. I can keep doing it, and I can keep doing it, and I can keep doing it. And eventually, the goals that I have, I'm going to achieve, and I'm going to accomplish.
Yeah.
But when does that become enough, though? Because now, yeah, let's say, for example, you make 10 grand. First off, 10 grand isn't a measly amount.
Nope, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot of time, sweat, and tears that you put into. And I guess that's why others don't see it that way, because to others that kind of just see the end, they only see the beginning, that you started something and then the end result, which is that paycheck. So they don't understand how much time, how much of your own personal freedom too is that you had to put into to get that check.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, sometimes we might not realize it, but others do, like, you know.
Yeah. And that's the hardest part, you know, because I understand the struggle that comes with human greed, because when human greed comes, it's like it sneaks up on you, mm-hmm, without you realizing it's there.
Mm-hmm. But it brings out the worst in ourselves and the people around us.
Wholeheartedly, because human greed is what made me realize I was no better than the monsters that I was telling people about.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that scared me the most, was the self-realization afterwards that me losing the people in my life because of my greed was because of me, no one else. It was because of me. Mm-hmm. My greed for wanting things, for achieving it, and then understanding I could do so much more.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part, is this realization that greed only made me the same monster that I warned all the most important people in my life about. Mm-hmm. Greed is like, I don't know, it's like to put it simple, it's an analogy of Legos, right? Mm-hmm. You start with one block, but as you continue to build it, you build this tower, and it starts to look beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then you think to yourself, ooh, how tall can I make this Lego tower? And you continue, and you continue, and you continue, and you continue, to a point where it becomes like, nah, I could keep going.
Yeah.
And people are telling me, hey, maybe that's a little too high. No. I'd already built it. Every block from the bottom getting here, I'm going to keep going. And then you go, and then you go, and then you go. And then it gets to a point where now it starts tipping. Mm-hmm. And then you realize it's tipping.
Yeah.
And so you try holding the other side. But everything that you had built is already becoming unstable, that when you take your hand off, it's going to fall.
Yeah.
And then it falls. And then it crumbles. Now, the hardest part about that was seeing all the pieces everywhere. And that was like, that's what it was like for me, was seeing everything that I had worked hard for everywhere. Broken, shattered, relationships that I had built for 5 years. Broken and shattered. A career that I had worked for, you know, 5 years, broken and shattered. That right there made me realize, you know, like, I never knew who I really was until that moment. Until I became the monster. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, they talk about, I'm a great guy. Okay, great. That's good. But when I talk to people, I tell them I'm the best that I can be right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm not good. No one's good. Mm-hmm. No one is built great.
Yeah.
Everyone has their weakness. So what is it? You know, when I walk up to people, I'm more conscious now of who people are, because I was like that. I was that guy that was like, hey, yo, you need help? I'm going to help you. Oh, you need this? I'm going to do this for you. And I did that. And it puts you on this, it puts you on a high horse eventually of like, that's what I'm meant to do, to help people. Mm-hmm. And then when you become the worst that you can be, you realize you were the one that helped people. You were also the one that you held the rope so that everyone could climb up, and you let go of that rope. Mm-hmm. And then that makes you become the demon. That makes you become the one person that you never wanted to become.
But wouldn't you say that, like, other people's... I don't want to call it greed, because I know that we are talking about that, but I've seen where, like, people will just come in and will ask you for money, okay?
Yeah.
They'll ask you for money, and then suddenly, whenever they don't need you, they just let you go.
And
wouldn't you say that's just the same? You know, like...
It is. But when... So, I know what you're talking about. There is an instance where someone very close to me... It was after all this had happened. And I had moved away and started to try and rebuild my life. And I know what you're talking about. There's one person that came to me, and she was in a lot of relationship trouble and financial trouble. Mm-hmm. She wasn't from Canada. And she had asked me for a couple grand. And I get it. It's like you said, she asked me for money, and I gave it to her, and then she disappeared. But for me, maybe because I had already gone through that stage of selfish greed and human greed and the monstrosity that was created because of my own greed, that I understood and I couldn't say anything, was because one day she'll realize. Just like everyone will one day. Whether it be 20 years from now, tomorrow, on your deathbed, one day you will realize what your greed had done and how much people you have hurt. I'm only a part of that process of her hurt and her new self-realization. I'm only a part of that process, just like all the people that I had hurt had become a part of my process of me becoming a better person.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not, like, condemning her. sorry. I'm not condemning her because I know that everybody does this, but I think she was the one that stood out the most that I remember, because the amount of money that she asked was no small, like, chunk of change for you by any means. You know, like, you had just moved here too, I think. You had just moved to where I was living, and so you were, you know, you were short on money because of the amount of money you had to put into to moving and then getting all the stuff to just live.
Yeah.
So it was not, like I said, it was no chunk of change. And but every time she needed something, whether it be money, because greed is not only just about money, there's the emotional greed too, where people are where people are looking for that, like, emotional comfort, and after they're done, they're like, bye.
Yeah.
But they always keep coming and going, coming and going. So how do you not, because now you're on the other end of that greed, how do you deal, I don't know if the word dealing with it is right, but how do you just, like,
process it?
Yeah.
I think I process it because I've been in that situation. Emotional greed, I've been there. The emotional want and need for people to validate something, I've been there, okay? It's not easy to realize and get over it. It's not even an easy feat to just say it's okay today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not easy. The financial thing, you know, like, we are always going to deal with this kind of shit on a day-to-day basis. You're going to meet people day-to-day. How do you know that the money that you give a homeless man, he's not going to use it for drugs? You don't.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same way, if I give money to people that ask for it, I'm not going to say no, but I will if I have it. And when I do, the moment it's taken out of my hands, if you decide to use it for the purpose that you've come to me and asked me for it, then great, go do your thing. But I've also understood that when people are given a large sum of money, human greed kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, instead of being given one option, oh, I should go and pay what I need to pay off, you are given two options. I can go pay what I want to pay off, or I could just pick up a couple shifts and then pay it off slowly every week. And then this large sum of money that I have right now, I can go and do stuff with it. Okay, that's human greed. That right there is an answer that comes up every time someone is given a large sum of money.
Yeah, because that wasn't, like, a small amount. That's why, like, I've always asked you, like, till this day too, how do you trust that they're not going to go, like, they're not going to accept that human greed? Because everybody has it in them, you know, like, in every stage of their life. Like, how do you trust that they're not going to use it to just spend it on whatever it is that they want to?
Yeah, there was a quote that I remember coming across, and it was a very beautiful quote. And he said, You don't trust that people aren't going to hurt you. People are going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to trust that you are strong enough to get out of it at the end of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I'm at, is I trust myself that no matter what happens, I can get my own shit out. I can deal with my own shit. People's shit, I'm not going to be able to control. The people that come to me and ask me for help, or ask me for financial help, even a homeless person that comes and asks me for help, I cannot control what happens afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I can control the fact that if I'm giving it to someone, it means that I'm okay currently. That financially I can eat. Financially I can be okay. And the money that I give is to make someone else okay instead of suffering. I've been on the other end of suffering. The other end of suffering was right after everything that I had fucked up in my life happened. And then right after, I was in debt.
Mm-hmm.
I had fucked up my entire life. And I understand what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
I understand what it's like to be greedy. I understand what it's like to know what greed, to know what that demon sounds like in your head.
But don't you think that they deserve to go through what it is that they're going through? Because it could literally just be something small, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have spent it on this and I should have known better not to. Like, it's all the steps that they knew that they shouldn't have taken, but they did. So don't you think that maybe this is like a learning lesson, a step for them?
Well, here, let me ask you a question then. To say it's a learning, to say that it's a learning opportunity, mm-hmm. you could be right.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say you've lost your father. Okay. If someone lost their father, do they deserve it? If it, even if it's their fault, do they deserve it? Or could that lesson be taught another way?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. That's the way I've always looked at it, is people don't need to suffer that bad to learn a lesson. I've been on the end where I've had nothing in my wallet, and you open it and then you just burst out in tears because you look at it and you know that your life is that worthless, that you have a card in there and there's nothing in that card. And when you swipe it, you know that you got to take that 50-50 chance that you can even buy a damn Snickers bar. Yeah, I've been there. Do I need people to be there? No, I don't need people to be there. There are other ways in life that life will teach you these lessons.
Mm-hmm.
If I can be a contributing factor to teach you a lesson a different way, then let me be that way. I don't, it's like I've always said to people, it's like, do you need to learn to, like, look at it this way, right? You watch a lot of mystery and crime shows.
Yeah.
So you watch a lot of, like, MacGyver, and you watch a lot of CSI and Criminal Minds.
And Bones, too.
Okay. Yep. So as a parent, do you need your daughter to be taken away from you, put in a situation where she's in a hostage situation, and have them call you for you to learn to love your daughter even more? Or is there another way for you to learn to love your daughter? There is always another way. You don't need the worst of the worst to happen to teach people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've realized, is like, look, like, what I went through wasn't as bad as the many people that I've come across in my life, and they have shared their stories with me.
Mm-hmm.
When they share me their stories, it's heartbreak. It's tragedy. It's things that scar people for life, and it's made them the way they are. And maybe, you know, because when I was at my lowest, I met people that were at their lowest as well. When I was, you know, I lived on Jane and Finch for a while. And when I was on Jane and Finch, you know, I fucked around a lot. That was the first time I had freedom away from everything.
Yeah.
And that's what people are going to go through, is that stage of their life that is called freedom.
Yeah.
The stage where you're no longer with your parents, you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And I've been there. I've done it. That was also the time when I met some of the worst people, in the worst conditions. I had so much on my mind one night, and I went walking on Jane and Finch, the dumbest thing you can do on Jane and Finch, just saying. But I did, and I met some random guy in a plaza, and he's like, walk with me, and I'm already so fucked up in the head. I'm already out of my mind because I'm thinking everything that I have is gone. I don't have nothing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like, this guy shows me, oh, this building, this is a trap house. This, like, cops don't even come here if we call. This area, It's known for shootings. It's known for this. It's known for that. And this guy's showing me shit. I'm sitting there, I'm like, yo, is this guy like trying to scare me? He's trying to rob me. Because if he's trying to rob me, you know, I had already come to a point where when I was on Jane and Finch for a while, I had already gotten to a point where if someone robbed me, I was okay with dying. Like, that's how bad my headspace was.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, he started telling me about his life and how his mom and his dad abused him as kids. And then when he was 10 and his brother was like 18, his brother took him. And then his brother went to jail because he took him. And then he was in the system. And then while he was in the system, he met some people that, you know, let him sell drugs for them. Mm-hmm. And he did. And then it was that human greed of him, like, yo, I could keep doing this. I could suffice. I could keep doing it. And then it's like he says, he'd been doing that for almost 8 years at that point when I met him. And I said to him, why are you still here? The only thing he could say to me was, because this is where everything's at. I make money because of the people here. I told him, how much do you have? He's like, no, I could afford to get out. I have the money to get out. I have the money to live a beautiful life.
Oh, this guy had like bank.
Well, this guy had bank from like drug dealing and from all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that, because it's like he says, is his moral and conduct is he's a seller, but he's not a user.
Mm-hmm.
So he saved up quite a bit. But it's like that human greed of humans right there is like, look, enough is never enough. Yeah. You say you have a goal to get to one point to another point, but when you get to that other point, you're making another goal, and then you're making another goal, and then you're making another goal. It's this whole thing that I see with parents is they don't get to see their kids grow up because they're so focused on making money, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're so focused on providing. They're so focused on this and they're so focused on that, that it becomes part of that human greed where it's like, enough is never going to be enough. I have a mortgage to pay. I have this to pay. I have that to pay. I have this to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the time you realize it, your kid went from being 6 years old to 16. You missed out on 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to understand that at the age of 6 to 16, so much happens in their development stages.
Mm-hmm.
That by the time they're 16, their son and their daughter are these spoiled-ass kids that don't give a shit about their parents. And then these parents go off and they go complain about their daughters and sons that, oh, my kid, you know, I provide for them. I give them this. I give them that. And, you know, they never want to spend a day with me.
Mm-hmm. You know, though, is that like some people would argue with you saying that with the fact that, oh, they're working for their kids, you know? And it's like a double-edged sword. Is that like you want to, yes, you want to make sure that when you pass away, should anything happen, your kids are fine.
Yeah.
But at what cost? Because at that point, your kid is not going to know who you are. Because my family's like that, you know, like my little sister is pretty much in that situation. So that's why I've always thought it was a double-edged sword, but I value the time being with my family than making money, because you can make money the next day or the day after that, but it's the time away from my family, you know, our kids, you, is that all worth it? Because there are moments that I can never get back once I've missed it.
And, you know, that's a thing too, right? Because it's like you said, yes, there is an argument that, you know, like you said, there is an argument against what I've said. But what I've said, it doesn't apply to everyone, and it's not going to apply to every single person in that situation.
Yeah, because there are people that make it work.
Yeah, there are people and parents that have made it work where they work night and day. They come home. But as the kid is growing up, they're making it to these things that are important to their child. You know, I've seen parents miss graduations because of work. I've seen parents miss small things that they think are small, but mean a lot to these kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the small things where it's like, how much are you willing to sacrifice before you lose everything?
Yeah.
I'm not asking you not to work, but I'm asking you, like, for example, like growing up, my parents made it very known to us kids that they were broke.
Mm-hmm.
And it taught us a lot of things like, okay, the time that mom and dad do have, let's do the best we can. You know, like Friday nights we would spend watching like TV shows together, or we'd have game nights once a week. Spending time once a week with your kid is not going to kill you. You're going to be exhausted because of how much you're pushing through that day. Yes, but trust me, I think it's the memories that count. It's the memories that your child takes away from those moments that he spends with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not how much time you spend with him, but the moments that you spend with him. What you're doing, what you're making a difference in their lives.
Yeah.
You know, I've had parents, both my parents work crazy hours when I was a kid. But the moments that I remember now as an adult are moments that I had spent with them in particular moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like growing up, my dad would go butterfly catching with me. And he bought me a book of butterflies to learn these species. And we would, I created a whole butterfly board, or bingo night on Friday with my mom and my dad, or, you know, our morning bike rides that we used to take on Saturday mornings. These are things that busy parents are busy, and kids, they got their own shit going on, but to dedicate just a couple hours to being with them and giving them those defining moments in their life. It might not be defining at that time, but as they grow up, they will remember.
But it has to be the willingness of the... Sorry, in the sense, it has to be the willingness of the parents
to want to do this, though.
It's because there are many opportunities that I've seen that the parent could have spent with their child willingly, and they decided not to. But it's like I said, maybe this is just me just speaking from the side that I see, because I've spent so much time with my little sister that he was never around at all. So this is just what I'm seeing. Like I said, but there are other things that come into play too.
Watch, take a look at this, right? In your memory, is there a moment where you were happy to be with your mom and dad? Whether it be as a kid, you got to have at least one happy moment. Whether it be a birthday, taking you out to eat, or taking you to like Build-A-Bear, like your dad used to do and your mom used to do. Now, these are moments that out of their busy day, they could take a couple hours out and say, okay, I'm going to go spend it with my daughter and build these memories. Look, you and your sister both remember Build-A-Bear, because Build-A-Bear was something that became a small part of your memory, and the most beautiful moment that you got with your parents. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, look, there are so many parents out there that don't think about doing these small things because they don't think it's worth it. But we grow up, and as we grow up, these things become an integral part of how we grow up and teach people.
Yeah, this is, I feel like these moments is very important to us. Although it seems small when we are small, but as we get older and then we have kids of our own, and then we realize, no, these moments mean a lot because they teach us the important moments with our own kids too. These are things that we learn so that we can not only learn to be better as as individuals, but as parents too.
Yeah. Because, like, look, someone that I really I look up to is Logic, the rapper. Mm-hmm. He grew up in an abusive household. He grew up in a broken household. But when he got the opportunity to have his own family, look at what he did.
He started his own family.
He started his own family. He retired from music to be there with his child and his wife. Mm-hmm. Now, that's how you do it. Now, that's how you could be a parent, is teaching your parent the right, teaching your child the right way, or do what you did the wrong way, and eventually your child will be smart enough to realize that was not right, mm-hmm. and will learn himself or herself what a real family or what a real good life could look like, and then they go in and they do that. Mm-hmm. I would rather be a part of my child's life positively so that I could be there. In, as a grandparent, or as you know, for my friends, and have these moments where I could share with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes right back to the clip from the beginning. Human greed starts with something. Now, all we ever want in life is peace. All we ever want in life is to be happy. Mm-hmm. But the more you chase those things, you have to know your boundaries. You have to know when to stop.
Yeah.
When to kind of just take time to enjoy what is there in that moment. To enjoy, you know, like an analogy that I love to use is people that go and take pictures at these beautiful sceneries, you know, like the sunflower field. Mm-hmm. People go and they take pictures there. But do you enjoy the wind that blows through, the smell of the sunflowers, the beauty of just being where you don't hear cars? There's no sound pollution. It's so beautiful. But are you enjoying these things, or are you focused on getting your picture and posting it up on Instagram, getting your likes, getting your comments? A lot of people, they're focused on that. They're not focused in the moment. That's why, like, for me, like, I'm such an avid person about, like, taking my time away from social media. Taking my time away from people. Mm-hmm. So that I can learn to enjoy what I have. To learn to enjoy what I'm given in my life. Because when I had the best in my life, I was the shittiest person in my life. And I lost it all. Mm-hmm. So I can't do that again. I have to enjoy these moments. I have to enjoy these times. Become a proper, to not be so greedy about what I have and what I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this, right? If a new iPhone comes out and I really want that iPhone, the greed in me will say, yeah, let's go get it. But the other side of me also says, you're good with what you have. Take the money that you could have used for that and go buy something so that you could either eat with your family or have a great day with your family. Mm-hmm. Invest it into a cottage trip. Great. Okay, that's good. These are the small things that one day become bigger and bigger. You just don't realize how big they become. Mm-hmm. These are things that, like, now as an adult, And going through my own greed and selfishness, seeing the effects of my greed and selfishness on other people and how I've affected them and I've hurt them and I've done my damage. I don't ever want to do that again. I don't ever want, you know, and that's maybe why my mentality is so different. Why a lot of people, when they see me again, they always say you're different.
They're very surprised because they saw you during those good times, but at your, like, good times, but at your worst, like, in, like, who you are.
Yeah, because it's not that I was a horrible human being back then. I was a good kid. I did the best that I could. But my greed brought out things of me that I myself did not understand. And now that as an adult, I've come to terms with what I've done, who I've hurt, that I'm more conscious about not doing it again, about knowing that that dark side, it exists. It's not that it doesn't. You can't lie to yourself and say it doesn't. Everyone has it. If someone dropped $1 million in your lap and said, that's yours. Now, that's when human greed gets involved. It's a very rare chance that I've seen people get dropped how much money and they actually go and they do something good with it. It's rare, and especially with this whole hustle culture and especially kids now getting into this kind of stuff, to understand that human greed brings out the worst in you, but to not be scared of it, but to realize that it's there. Mm-hmm. If you are scared of it, you will never reach your full potential. It is to realize that you yourself is a damn demon too. Mm-hmm. And that you understand how bad things can get, and to learn to avoid these things, learn to not be those things. For me, you know, like, I was reminiscing about a lot of like the old times with a friend, and she and I, we were talking about the memories that were created back then and how we used to call each other brothers and sisters. And like I was saying to her, was like, you know, like, even when you and I, we got married, it wasn't happy, because from her side, we didn't have who we wanted from your side there with us. Mm-hmm. From my side, I didn't get the people that I wanted to be there with me as well.
I don't think it was what we wanted in the first place.
No, exactly. But that's why, like, I said to her, was like, look, these moments that we reminisce, these regrets that we have, is because those regrets become a part of why we are better today. Mm-hmm. You're not going to forget about it. You're not going to go and be like, oh, I don't remember. I remember everything. I remember every happy moment that I've ever had with those people. Mm-hmm. And it's like I've always said to you about this situation, is like, look, to the people that I've hurt, I'm okay with them hating me. I'm okay with them despising me. I'm okay with them thinking I am a monster. I'm okay with that, because that's what I did. But who I am now is a person that tries to seek for better, tries to live his life the best that he can every day, and tries to repent for everything that I have done. That is why I do the job that I do. These were brothers and sisters of mine that when we were together, I remember, like, we sat there and we would all talk about one day when one of us get married, all of us would be there. One day when we have kids, our kids are going to be playing together. These are not simple promises. These are not promises that random people made. These are promises between brothers and sisters that could not be kept, because as we grew up, we did stupid shit. I did stupid shit. And you realize it. And you grow to be a better person. But that growth that I had gone through didn't involve them in that portion of my life. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the hardest part. The growth that I had gone through involved you, your sisters, your mom. That was the growth that I had gone through. The troubles and the happiness that was created during those times, it becomes a distant memory for me. It's a part of me, because I am everything that we were back then. I also am everything that made me this person today. That's why when I meet a lot of people, they're always saying to me like, oh, you used to be so extroverted. You used to be so talkative. You used to, you know, make it so easy for us to talk to you. Yeah, that's right. I used to. Until now, because I don't know how to have a conversation with people. These are things that human greed does to people. One of the things, at least, that I understand from. I've seen human greed go so far as taking people's lives, ruining families, you know, like. Sometimes I think what people need to hear is kind of just have more you time to think about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that you can gauge for yourself when enough is enough and when to slow down. Because enough will never be enough when you're in this kind of a field of work. This field of finding financial stability. It will never be enough. That's just the honest truth of it.
Mm-hmm.
The more you have, the more money you have, the more things you have. That's just going to be the truth of it.
That's true.
But it's finding your morality, your ethics.
And have some, I guess, humility too.
Yeah. Learn humility. Humility will help you.
Mm-hmm.
The humility of failure, the humility of your mistakes.
And some humbleness too. I feel like when you have so much and you let others see it and then they start praising you or giving you compliments for it, it starts to get in your head and it's like, what more can I get now? Mm-hmm. So I feel like a slice of humble pie would be good too for certain people.
And all these, you know, they come in stages. As you achieve certain things in life, you will learn about greed. You will learn about being humble. You will learn about, you know, finding your ethics, your morals.
Mm-hmm.
Your moral compass is going to be the one thing that you need the most.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing for yourself what is right and what is wrong. Because other people's gauge of right and wrong is going to be very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As someone who has been through his own, you know, greed and suffering, the only piece of advice I can give people is to have conversations with people that you truly trust and learn to slow down sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If you've already achieved certain things, just learn to slow down. Take time to enjoy those moments, to take time to enjoy the people that are there with you so that you can appreciate it.
Mm.
As you grow, you know, like, this is the thing that, because for me, I had lost contact with a lot of the people that I used to call my brothers and my sisters. I lost contact for a good, 5 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd lost contact for a good 5 years. There was no communication back and forth. But the hardest part was realizing when I was wrong and going back to apologize about my wrongs. Now, the hardest part about that wasn't the fact that I had to apologize. The hardest part about that is having to hear about how reliant these people were on you and you weren't there. Mm. That's what greed does, is it rips you away from the reality of a situation. Greed is a very monstrous thing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think differently. It makes you act differently. It makes you react differently.
It brings out another side of you that you didn't think was possible or was there, because it really brings out your worst. And I'm not just saying just you, you know, like not directed at you, but in general, it brings out the worst in people.
Yeah, no, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I agree with that. Greed is something that I constantly go through every day. The greed of wanting more for my family, wanting more for my career, wanting more for my life, wanting more for these people that I cherish in my life. But I have to sit down and have a conversation with myself every day and let myself know that I can't have everything in my life, and that these things that I'm working for, they don't come easy. I have to take it easy. I have to slow it down. Understand that I'm already working the best that I can, and that there's much more in my life that I have to focus on. Mm-hmm. We're going to end off today's podcast this way. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that this podcast wasn't too heavy for you, mm-hmm. that you took some kind of understanding and perspective out of it. This is your host, Danang, signing off of the Statues Podcast. Thank you.